Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Angold Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol AAU, and on the OTCQB under the symbol AAUGF. Shad and I are chatting with the president and CEO, Adrian Rothwell. Now, Adrian, we're following up on some news that came out June 22nd. It's further drill results, assay results from the Lajitas area on the Dorado project in Chile. Now, the key highlights that are outlined within this news release, which I will also link below this interview, it recaps some of the drill holes that were already announced, 1 through 4, but it also highlights hole 7 here, the intercept being 196 meters at 0.51 grams per ton gold. Now, Adrian, take us through just a general summary of the goals behind this hole 7, and with how long this intersect is, 196 meters, what that telling you about the potential at this Lajitas area, please?
Yeah, sure. In particular with hole 7, the objective of that hole was really to test both the northwest extension and the depth potential of the deposit. And we hit mineralization perfectly where it was targeted. And we got a long intercept of 196 meters. So this hole extended mineralization about 85 meters to the northwest and around 130 meters below any of the historic drilling at Lajitas. And really that's where we wanted to look at the depth potential, and we came back spot on. And so that's an excellent result for us. So at this stage, Lajitas, we're looking at it being around 600 meters wide and 450 meters deep. And of course, you know, with more drilling, we believe we can extend that as well.
Now, there are some other points within this news release. Let's talk about the high grade note that is within this news release, because you have mentioned, okay, 600 meters wide, about 450 meters deep. But there is this high-grade component, a little over a gram per ton, that you've seen through some of the drill holes. How is this playing into the area as well?
Yeah, so the thing from a mining perspective that I look at is the consistency of grade across the hole. And many of the holes were had gold in them through the entire length of the hole. Of course, some didn't, but, in particular with hole 7, you might look at it and go, well, it's only 0.51 grams per ton. But we did also have 28 meters over a gram in that hole. And likewise in hole 3, hole 2, we're hitting these hole 3, 54 meters at 1.25 grams per ton. And we call that high grade, especially in a porphyry setting like the Maricunga Gold porphyries, because a lot of this is in oxide, that material should prove to be very profitable. That is a high grade for this neck of the woods. I mean, obviously, we're not looking at 10 or 20 gram material, but the intervals are still very, very wide, particularly at 30 meters at above 1 gram per ton.
Yeah, Adrian, you bring up a great point there, because I think a lot of times the market is fixated on flashy high-grade results, but they're often over a meter or 2 meters, so they're very narrow intercepts. Yeah. In this case, you have hundreds of meters on all the holes, and it's very economical, and it being an oxide, are you looking at a plan where this would be an open pit, but then the higher grade at depth may eventually lead into an underground scenario, or how does that, I know it's early days still and you haven't done all the economic reports, but what are you seeing just as a general sense in these big wide intercepts like this?
Yeah, well, it is early days and we would need, certainly one of the objectives right now is it's absolutely open pit, that we're looking at, and we're looking at what is the extent of open pit and oxide and transition material and perhaps some of the higher levels of sulfides on the deposit. So that's where we're looking to step out. These mines are typically looking at kind of an open pit run of mine scenario. It's a very cheap to run. They'd be looking at oxide ore as being the best material to leach as well. You would expect to see any leach recoveries anywhere in the range of 70% or 80% in this neck of the world in oxide. So that is part of our focus, but these are also very deep deposits. So it would be interesting to see what that comes back at depth. But it is, yeah, correct, Shad. I mean, it's too early for us to tell at this point.
Well, and the other thing that's interesting is that at Lajitas, you know, you've had a number of drill holes that prove your thesis, but I would imagine that some of the other drilling you're doing is going to be testing, you know, different deposits around the area. We had talked a little bit off mic about how you envision potentially multiple satellites feeding in, which is very common for these type of deposits. Could you walk us through how this may inform future drilling or how you see that thesis playing in, where you may have multiple pits feeding into a milling scenario?
Yeah. So, I mean, for us right now, our objective has certainly been to drill Lajitas. And what has that told us? Well, you know, in the background, and we haven't talked about it a great deal, we've been doing a lot of targeting work on the property. And we have a number of breccia zones that we're looking at drilling for next year. Lajitas South, we have talked about. And that is probably one of the most exciting targets that we have. It's got multiple epithermal and a porphyry target on there that we'll definitely be drilling next year. Dorado is a 15,000 hectare project, and we've got around 8 other targets on there that we will be looking at along a pretty prominent 2.5 kilometer long, 500 meter wide north-south trending structural belt. And so, you know, really, we have discovered in phase one drilling that we've really got two styles of mineralization there. Previously, it was targeted for the porphyry mineralization only, but we also have an overprinting epithermal type quartz veins in hydrothermal breccias surrounding that porphyry. So that's the kind of targets that we're stepping out and looking at. And I think in a lot of scenarios where you're looking at a production scenario, you do end up with multiple satellite open pittable deposits to get that underway. And so that's if I were to have all my dreams, that's what we're looking for.
Okay. So Adrian, it sounds like this, let's call it phase one program, was a success for the company. You can just see by the key highlights, holes 1 through 4 and hole 7 hit some long intercepts and consistent mineralization. What does it look like now for a phase two program? There is a note within the news release that says the company is planning a significant second drill program for later this year. What does that look like?
Yeah, so now, I mean, we have a much better idea of the structural controls on the project than we did before we had even visited the project last year. So we have a very good indication of where we want to step out. It's got a wonderful depth potential where it remains very open. We've got a number of targets that we want to test, in particular Lajitas South. And there's a couple of areas where we missed this year. And, you know, so getting into what happened on hole 6, we lost that hole in swelling clays. But we did hit mineralization where we had anticipated hitting it. It was previously undrilled, and it is a step out of a lateral step out of around 250 meters at our target depth. So we'll be going back and drilling that and getting through those swelling clays.
So then, Adrian, there is also that undrilled targets remain note within this news release. You and Shad have already kind of touched on that, how this project could be coming together. But do you have a general attack strategy of how you're going to go about testing some of these other targets while still focusing in a way on building Lajitas out?
Yeah, in very broad terms, and we're still discussing exactly how we'll be doing it, but I would like to, you know, probably the most efficient way will be to bring in some reverse circulation drilling on some of the remote targets. And really, you know, that allows us for a reasonable cost to just see what the gold hits are in those targets. And that's step one. We'll still have a diamond rig on the property, whether that's at Lajitas or Lajitas South at particular times. It'll probably be at both, depending on certain times of the program. In general, it's the story is about drilling, and for that, you know, we're planning and targeting for the upcoming season in Q4.
Okay, Adrian, well, could you remind everybody what kind of cash do you have in the bank, and what is the budget for the phase two program moving forward?
Yeah, by the middle of July, we'll have around $2 million in cash. So clearly, you know, we're not funded for next year's program at Lajitas. We will be using those funds to do a phase one program, however, in Nevada. And that's something we've been working on in the background over the last 6 months on the Iron Butte project. Perhaps we can talk about that at a different time, but we'll be drilling on that project over the summer, and clearly we'll be going back to the market at some point between now and Q4 to raise funds for Lajita.
Okay, now that Iron Butte project, we have touched on it in some past interviews, but as that exploration program ramps up and we get some more information on it, we'll follow up with you there, Adrian, so that everyone can stay up to date on those or that upcoming catalyst from that project. But if anybody has any follow-up questions for Ann Gold and Adrian Rothwell, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you, and we will follow up as we get some more news coming out of the Iron Butte program and then the move into drilling at the Dorado project later this year. Adrian, I appreciate your time. Thank you for the update.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Shad.